Now, next up, we have a piece from Kilkenny Radio, where Maurice O'Connor spoke with Claire Patton, who is a biodiversity officer. And they were chatting about the International Day of Food Loss and Waste. So let's listen in.
Today apparently is International Day of Awareness of Food Loss and Waste, and to mark that, and I suppose to take the opportunity to raise the awareness of that and related matters, the Environment Education Unit of Ontashka are launching another one of a series of green flags, and joining me to tell me about that and more is Claire Patton, who's a biodiversity officer. So good afternoon, Claire, how are you?
Good afternoon. Very well, thanks.
There are so many days of this, that and the other, I think every single day of the year. So today being International Day of Awareness of Food Loss and Waste, I presume this is a UN thing they often are. And what's actually going on today to raise awareness of that side of things, food loss and waste?
Yeah, so you're right, definitely every day seems to be a day of something. But this is a UN International Day, and it's actually the first year that this day has been marked. So food waste and food loss is one of the kind of big environmental issues at the moment, and this year was particularly relevant due to the COVID-19 pandemic and disruption to kind of food supplies and services. So there's kind of lots of resources available through the UN that are marking today. And at Green Schools, it's kind of fitting in with the launch of our new theme, which is Global Citizenship, Food and Biodiversity, which incorporates lots of the aspects involved in it. And this theme, as you mentioned, is one of several. It's our 10th theme, and it explores the links between the food that we eat and biodiversity. It encourages students taking part to kind of take part in local actions, like growing their own food, preparing their own food, and also looking at the global implications of the food systems that we use.
So this would have been launched today, the new flag. I suppose it's a very clever and attractive bit of psychology in a way, these flags kind of things. It plays to people's interest or in kind of collecting things and achieving certain things and getting recognition back for those achievements, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I think for schools, they're putting a huge amount of effort into these themes and these projects. And it's great to get an award and recognition for that work. So I know that all the schools that take part take a lot of pride in being able to complete each theme and have that visible recognition of a flag flying outside the school. It's a really positive thing.
Yeah. And I believe that from a press release I saw from you that this one, I don't know, is it the same as normal when a new flag is launched, but in this particular case you've invited 45 schools spread across the country to partake in the start-up anyway of the new team. Is that the normal way you go about spreading or launching a new flag and spreading the awareness about the topic that the flag represents?
Yeah, well, the way the themes work is that we have a series of 10 themes, and schools work sequentially through them. So the schools, the 45 schools that are beginning this year, would have completed our 9 previous themes.
Wow.
So these schools are, very experienced in environmental education and are kind of old hands at the Green Schools program.
Are they secondary and primary? Or
it's a mix of both, yes.
A mix. I can't think of any school, certainly around here, where I would have seen a whole series of flags up and running and flying in the breeze, because I think the schools do like to put the flags up when they get them, don't they?
Yes, definitely. It's a nice way to mark their finishing off their theme art.
And I gather that the idea with the launch of this particular one with those 45 schools is that you would have a chef and writer and food campaigner who's Michelle Darmody, I don't know, many listeners may or may not know her, to develop something with schools around the idea of growing food during the school term and then actually harvesting that, I presume, and cooking with it, which is a lovely idea. It's a bit of a challenge, is it, to actually fit those kind of things into school terms? I mean, the spring is fine, but again, there's like things take their own time to grow. So I suppose it all has to be worked out very carefully to fit in with, to match nature with the school calendar.
Yeah, exactly. So Michelle has actually been working with us for the last 2 years and piloting this theme. So as you said, there's a lot to fit in between nature and the school term. So what we've done and tried the last 2 years with some pilot schools is trial it out. So the aim of the program is to have schools, as you said, growing, harvesting, and then cooking and eating their own foods. And this is something that the students have really enjoyed so far. So having that opportunity to get outside, get their hands dirty, and kind of learn in that environment while growing their own foods, caring for it as they grow, and kind of seeing hands-on that link between biodiversity and the plants they're growing. So from seeing bees pollinate the flowers, to finding the earthworms in the soil, they're really seeing how things happen. And then with Michelle on board, we've been able to lead schools through harvesting the food and cooking a variety of recipes. And throughout the trial process, we've seen which foods will, you know, be ready to harvest in time for the school ending. And we had to use kind of different crops for primary and secondary, as primary schools have that extra month, so they have a little bit of extra time to get the crops ready.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. And you know, the one obvious thing about it is the space. I presume a lot of those 45 or all of those 45 schools actually have the space either within the school perimeters or somewhere close by where they can actually do that and go off and do the, you know, the planting and growing and harvesting.
Yeah, so with all the green schools teams, we kind of realised that every school is going to be different and have their own resources and their own spaces. So specifically for this theme, the challenge is where are they going to grow the food and what space do they have. But with the crops that we've chosen, schools that don't have a huge amount of space will be able to use window boxes and smaller spaces to complete it, whereas you might have other schools with larger amount of spaces where they could plant, you know, directly in the ground or in raised beds. But it's a very flexible program that schools can adapt to their own environment, and there is lots of opportunities to use smaller planting areas.
Yeah, so things like, yeah, I suppose herbs in window boxes or other small plants or buckets, you know, for potatoes or whatever they can adapt to whatever they have around them, which is great. It sounds like a lovely idea altogether. With secondary schools, then of course there's always the opportunity with transition year to really do a deep dive into all of this, both kind of food sustainability and sourcing locally and growing and harvesting and all the rest. Do many schools actually offer specific TY modules around all of that?
Well, we do find that the transition year is a great opportunity to get really involved in green schools. So as you said there's so many different directions you can take it. And the second year of the program kind of does focus in on the global implications of food production. So students have the opportunity to look at what's important to them. Is it looking at the food miles that our foods accumulate on the way to our plate, or is it things like packaging or the effects on climate change of our diets? And that flexibility is there, so if there is particular interest in the school, they can go and focus on that topic and also link it in with other areas of their existing curriculum.
And do you find this, like you were talking a minute ago about the kind of the variety of circumstances, physical circumstances you find around the schools, what about teachers themselves? Do they generally tend to really embrace and get enthusiastically behind any of the themes really of the Green Schools program, in particular this one that you've just launched?
Yeah, well, so far we've had a really fantastic reaction from the teachers who've taken part in it. It's something that they've really enjoyed working with their students, and with that, different teachers might have different interests or different things that they can bring to the table. And the great thing about the program is that flexibility is there. In saying that, we do try and have the program be fairly student-led, and have them, you know, really engaged in taking part in the decision making and the planning of the program and what's going to happen within that theme.
It sounds fascinating, and it'd be great, I suppose, to see what the kind of nature of the produce is and how the whole program gets on. How are the schools generally doing with 10 different themes to attack, and you say they have to take them in sequence? you know, where are schools generally at? I think a lot of them would have maybe signed on initially very enthusiastically for the first ones. There was ones around recycling, wasn't there? And then I can't remember. Don't ask me to name the other themes. I would only embarrass myself trying to do it. But, you know, have schools enthusiastically gone from one flag to the next and on?
Yeah, so every school is different, and we have had schools, so as you said, this is the 10th theme, so the schools that are taking part in this now have been working on green schools for at least 20 years.
Wow.
And we do have schools continue to sign up for the first time, so there are some schools that will be starting this year for the very first time. So every school will kind of work on the programme at their own pace, and some, like this current crop of schools, have gotten there really quickly and really enthusiastically, which is great, but it's still a program that is open for schools to sign up to at any stage.
Yeah. And back to the theme then of the latest theme of the flag that you've just launched, Global Citizenship, Food and Biodiversity. Now you're describing it as having two strands, one the local and global, which I suppose is playing on to that the old theme from years and years ago of think global and act local. What sort of actions or thoughts are you trying, ideas are you trying to plant under the both of those two strands?
Yeah, so with the local actions, it'll be focusing on things within school itself. So growing, planting food and caring for it, all of the kind of actions around that. So learning about the soil, making sure that it's healthy, making sure that the wildlife is suitable around it, and then harvesting and eating the crops. So these kind of local actions we're hoping will have a positive impact on the environment in that. By growing locally, you're reducing your own food miles for the food that you're eating yourself. You're reducing packaging and so on. And then for our global topics, we have quite a range of choices for schools to get involved in. So they can choose a particular topic, so ranging from food waste to how our diets affect rainforests and land use, to fair trade issues, to climate change and our diets. And then we have a range of lesson plans and workshops built around each of these topics that schools can choose to get involved in, and then kind of go off in their own direction. So it could be fundraising on a particular issue, it could be hosting debates, could be completing project work, depending on what their interest is.
Or doing some local, taking some local initiative that's relevant to their own part of the country, or whether it's town or city,
exactly,
or yeah, village or rural location or whatever it is. Sounds like a hugely wide possible kind of range of actions, and I presume you have a whole series of teacher and student support resources to go along with those.
Yes, we do. So we have a huge amount of different lesson plans and online supports for any the schools taking part, and so ranging from things for practical support on gardening and planting crops, to recipes for the things that they harvest, and then as well for the more global topics of ways to kind of get started, because there is such a range of options. It can be hard to know where to begin, but we do provide backup and supports for all the different topics.
Yeah, it sounds like a fascinating one and a lovely theme for schools to get involved in if they're interested. And I suppose now is the time to make the most use of the academic year and finish it off with a nice harvest sometime later on in the school year before it all breaks up for the summer of 2021. Claire, just before I let you go, can I ask you just about your own, I believe your job title is a biodiversity officer. What exactly do you do? And is it all schools related?
Yeah, so it's all schools related. So I work with the schools that are working on this theme and also our biodiversity theme. So it's helping the schools to work on that theme in their own way and supporting them with lesson plans and training for teachers and any way that we can to make sure that they are able to complete the theme in an enjoyable way.
And I suppose teachers and schools in general know are very well up to date on how to access your expertise and the resources that you have to support the Green Schools Flags programme and everything else. Is there anything else you'd like to just mention or point us out information before we let you go?
No, so if anyone's interested in learning more, they can have a look at our website, greenschoolsireland.org, which has all the news about the Green Schools programmes, all the different themes, and some information about today, the International Day of Food Waste and Food Loss.
great. Lovely. It's been great chatting to you anyway, Claire, and the very best wishes with the launch of the new theme, Global Citizenship, Food and Biodiversity, as part of the Green Schools programme. Thanks a million for joining us.
Well, there we go. That was Maurice O'Connor, and he was chatting with Ontashka's Claire Patton, Biodiversity Officer.